Welcome to Level 1 Strength. My name is Tom Seaborn. And strength training is huge as a personal trainer. In fact, that's probably where we'll be spending most of our time with our clients. So let's talk about muscle. There's two types of muscle fibers, actually three. There's slow twitch fibers. Those are the red, and they're the endurance fibers, and they're called type 1. And when you think of a slow twitch muscle fiber, think of endurance athletes. Think of long distance runners. But then there's the fast twitch power type 2B fibers. And these are white. And these fibers are seen in sprinters and power lifters. And then there's the type 2A intermediate. And when I said there's three types, this particular fiber has been shown to change according to how your client trains. So if your client trains like a power person, you know, somebody doing sprints and power lifts, then the type 2A intermediate fibers will adapt and become more like the type 2B fibers. But if they do more of endurance type training, then those type 2A intermediate will become more like the type 1 fibers. So genetics is a huge part of whether you have type 1 or type 2B fibers. So there's an old saying that if you want to become an Olympic sprinter, choose your parents wisely, because you can't train your type 2B fibers, you know, to be there unless they're already there, if you understand what I'm saying. So understand that there's all kinds of different physiological effects to strength training. First, you know, you'll increase the size of your client's muscles, all right? And that's great for a guy, but the women are afraid of that. And women won't gain size like men do because they don't carry as much testosterone, that hormone. So women who are afraid to strength train should give it a try and just tell her that, look, if a body part is getting too large, and usually it's the legs or shoulders, then tell her, look, we'll just cut down on the amount of weight that you're using, and then those muscles will not hypertrophy or get larger. So yeah, keep your female client strength training for metabolic reasons, meaning the more muscle she has, the more calories she burns at rest, for bone density issues, because when muscle pulls on a tendon and then pulls on the bone, that increases bone density. So strength training is a great way for females to keep their bone density in the correct ranges. Another reason women don't want to strength train is they think it will masculinize them in some way, when it's absolutely not true. So it's all about getting her started in the weight room. And at first, just like everything else we've discussed, you know, start slow, light, and progress gradually. So we'll also increase the utilization and coordination of motor units. That means the motor units, and this is what's kind of cool. When your client gets stronger during the first week, you know, she thinks, wow, my muscles must be getting bigger and I'm going to get huge. But what's happening is just during that first week, she's developing that mind-to-muscle connection. It's more of a neural thing going on. So the actual size of the muscle fibers won't increase for weeks and many times months in the training program. Increased strength, your client's strength will increase. The tendons will increase in strength. The ligaments and the bones, again, will be more dense. So this is all good. The client will increase the storage of fuel in blood supply to the muscles, and improvement in blood fat levels and biochemical processes. And by that I mean, the more muscle your client has, then it's going to help with the problem with type 2 diabetes, because what you'll hear the Diabetes Association talking about now is, instead of just doing aerobics, for the clients, you know, any of your clients who have maybe a tendency toward pre-diabetes, or if they already have type 2, strength training is a must. Because think of it this way. Your client eats something, let's say a carbohydrate, like bread, then the blood sugar will then be shuttling that energy, or what we'll call glucose, glycogen, if it goes into the muscle, and if it goes into the fat cell, it'll be stored as fat. But insulin is what directs that pathway. And the more muscle she has, then the more storage form of glycogen she'll be able to hold in her muscle. So instead of her liver holding the glycogen, she'll have more muscle to store that glycogen. So yeah, strength training is great for everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean it. You know, there was a fear that strength training for children would cause a premature closure of the epiphyseal plates. But children as young as 9 and 10 can strength train, but there's some parameters to it. Number one, they shouldn't be strength training for maximal lifts, obviously. It's more of teaching them proper form so that they can follow your client and work out with them as they get older. So in the beginning, at these younger ages, they should be just training for form. They shouldn't be doing any overhead lifts, and they should always be supervised, making sure that they don't try to lift heavy. It's all about just learning perfect form. So then when they do get to the puberty, age and beyond, they'll be able to increase the size and strength of their muscles by being on a weight training program. So we can determine muscular strength by doing what's called a one repetition max. But I hate doing that, because what that requires, your client warms up, and then let's say she goes to the bench press and she just loads the bar up and tries to get her maximal lift, which could cause an injury. So instead of that, what you can do is measure her muscular endurance by just counting the maximum number of repetitions that she can get with maybe something like 70% of her predicted one repetition max. And that's going to be a lot safer. So if you're trying to improve your client's absolute strength, then yes, she's going to eventually lift heavy, because absolute strength is developed by that muscle adaptation, lifting heavier and heavier weight. So the rep ranges for muscular strength are very low, maybe 6 repetitions, because we're trying to get that muscle as strong as possible at lower rep ranges. Whereas if she's trying to improve muscular endurance, then we're looking at higher rep ranges, maybe in the 12 range. And sometimes people just combine both, trying to gain strength and endurance. And that's a great idea, so that they can do about 10 repetitions with a heavy enough weight so that if she tried to do that 11th one, she would lose her form. So the benefits of strength and muscular strength and endurance to share with your client are it'll help them be better in their sports, because a stronger athlete is always a better athlete. It'll cause and create injury prevention, meaning the stronger your muscle is around the joint, it protects the joint. It improves body composition. And here's an irony. When your female client starts weight training, she may gain weight on the scale, but muscle, even though it's weighs more than fat, it's smaller. So a muscle cell is smaller than a fat cell, but it's denser. So a 150-pound female who has a high percentage of body fat versus a 150-pound female who has a high percentage of muscle, the one with the more muscle will wear a smaller dress size. And that's so hard for people to believe. Women look at the muscle magazines and see how huge these women are, but muscle is more compact than fat. Now, what happens many times when women start a strength training program, they gain some muscle, they look at the scale, they're gaining weight on the scale, and then they don't lose fat at first, especially if they don't change their diet. And so they gain what we call bulk. So they have a little bit more muscle, but they've gained a little bit of fat surrounding the muscle, and she decides to quit because she can't fit into her jeans. If she would have only waited a little bit longer, for that muscle to create that little bit of a metabolic increase, which we discussed in the previous as EPOC, where your metabolic rate actually increases when you increase the amount of muscle on your body, then the fat will be used as energy. And so, again, she'll be able to fit into her genes if she just waits long enough, staying on her strength training program. Weight training also improves self-image and quality of life. I mean, she can carry her groceries, you know, her posture will improve. Strength training also improves muscle and bone health. And again, think what we talked about earlier. The muscle pulls on the tendon that pulls on the bone, and that increases bone density. And strength training also prevents and helps manage chronic diseases like arthritis. A lot of people are afraid that, oh, I shouldn't work out because I have arthritis. But what she should do is talk to her doctor. And what the doctor will generally say is go ahead and work out, but stay below your symptoms. So, you know, it's kind of like if you have arthritis or fibromyalgia, sometimes strength training can be the key to helping your client feel better. So there's different types of dynamic exercise. There's what's called variable resistance, and that's changing of the load, meaning the amount of weight, to provide maximal resistance throughout a full range of motion. And this, I don't know if you all remember the Nautilus machines, and they were isokinetic. And the point there was to have a kind of a force at a constant speed through a full range of motion, and those machines were very popular for a while. And then there's what's called eccentric loaded, and that's, in slang, the negative. That's where, kind of like where you have the weight that someone like hand, let's say on the bench press, someone hands you the weight, and then you lower it down towards your chest. So that's the eccentric load. And so you're actually placing a load on the muscle as it lengthens. And if you look at the difference between the concentric training, where kind of like pressing that bench press up, versus the eccentric causes much more delayed onset muscle soreness, DOMS, which is micro tears and swelling. So this begs the question, why have your clients do any type of eccentric training in the beginning? Because they're going to hurt so bad after that workout, they'll never want to come back. So beware of doing any type of eccentric training with your new clients. And then there's the plyometric training, which is it's a sudden eccentric load and stretching followed by a concentric contraction. And all that means, again, it would be like if you kind of just stepped off of a step and landed on both feet and then bent your knees, and that's the sudden eccentric load where you're stretched, you feel that stretch reflex at the same time, the myotatic reflex, and then you explode concentrically by jumping up in the air. So that's a plyometric type. And then there's speed loading, and that's just using some type of a Kaiser machine to lift a load very fast through a range of motion. So again, all different types of muscle contractions. With your clients, you'll apply what we call the FIT principle. And that just means the frequency. That means how many days per week to train. And a good rule of thumb is to train each muscle group no more than twice a week. And then there's the intensity. And intensity just refers to how much resistance. And then there's time or duration. And that's pretty much the number of repetitions and sets that you do, and how long your workout is. And then there's the type, if you use the word FIT, the acronym F-I-T-T. Type would mean what specific type of resistance were you using. Were you using bands or machines or free weights or Kaiser machines? And when you create a successful weight training program for your client, you know, choose the proper equipment. For example, in the beginning, your client might be more successful and feel safer on machines. But eventually, you want to get rid of the free weights because they're more functional. And of course, the free weights require more care, that you have to balance them. There's coordination involved. But with free weights, it really transfers to their daily activities. And so that's the functional effect. So the amount of resistance should be based on the client's fitness levels and goals. And as we talked about earlier, to build strength, you're going to be lifting heavy. So in the neighborhood of 80% of your one repetition max. To build endurance, you'll lift lighter, and that's about 40 to 60% of your client's one repetition max. And then for a general workout, like we talked about, like the 10 rep program, then maybe about 70% of your client's one repetition max. So the heavier the weight, the fewer the reps, the lighter the weight, more reps for muscular endurance. And then if you have that 70% of one repetition max, then you're around that 10 rep range. So the time of exercise and the repetitions and sets. So to build strength and endurance, do enough reps to fatigue the muscle. And I'll see people in the gym and kind of going through the motion, and they should be really focusing on the quality of contraction instead of counting reps or watching TV at the same time. Now, remember, to build both strength and endurance, you'll probably be within the 8 to 12 rep range, as we spoke about earlier. So a good idea for you is to put your client on a strength training program with about 8 to 10 different exercises, working all the major muscle groups. Make sure she trains the antagonist and agonist. And by that I mean, you know, if she wants to train her triceps, which is the back of her arm, and she'll want to train that because she wants to firm the back of her arm, make sure she trains her biceps. Just like when she trains her quads, the front of her leg, she trains the hamstrings, the back. This will prevent injury. In fact, if, for example, she just trained the quads without training her hamstrings, and let's say she was stepping off a curb and her hamstrings didn't contract correctly because they weren't as strong as the quad, then there's a chance that her ACL, that anterior cruciate ligament, would pop only because of the huge strength difference between the quads and hamstring. So it's really important to strength train in a balanced way to prevent injury. And this means not just injury in the weight room, but injury in her daily living. And do exercises for large muscle groups and multiple joint exercises first before doing the small muscle groups or single joints. So that just means, you know, do your squats and lunges and bench press before you do your calves and your biceps and triceps. So always do your large muscle groups first. And be sure that your client always warms up and cools down. And the warm-up could be anything in general. It could be riding a stationary bike, just increasing the muscle temperature. And, you know, maybe 5 to 8 minute warm-up, and the same for the cool-down to lower the heart rate and to relax. And, you know, let's say your client starts to make progress. Let's say she's doing the machine weights, and she's doing 10 reps on every machine. And she's, that 10th rep, as we discussed earlier, is so heavy that it's challenging her to the point that if she did 11, she'd lose her form. Well, stay with that weight, have her stay with that weight until she can say to herself, wow, I think I can do 11 now. And bingo, you know, she either tries 11 or she adds weight. So let's say she decides she wants absolute strength, so she wants to add weight. And then she goes from maybe 120 to 130 pounds. And wow, she's now able to lift 130 pounds for 10 reps. And she just keeps doing that, what's called the overload principle, until, you know, she's continuing to add weight with perfect form for 10 reps. And she's getting stronger and developing more muscular endurance because she's maintaining good form at all times. So, in, you know, putting this all together, you know, make sure that your clients are using proper weightlifting technique, working hard enough to cause the muscle adaptation to occur, which by the way, it happens during the recovery phase. We call that supercompensation. And this is where your clients need to learn that they've got to recover. That's where the muscles get stronger. That's when they grow. You know, have her use spotters and collars on the weights if she's in the free weight room. And always be alert to be careful about working out around injuries. I've seen people try to work out around an injury, but your body will compensate. And then if she loses her form, she could actually create another injury. So thanks for joining us for this lecture, and we'll see you at the next one.